So would you please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I like the way one pastor begins his prayer just before his message. This is what he prays. What I'm going to start with is... What he starts with has to do with our confidence in his word. So would you please pray with me? And before you do, I want you to know when Pastor Dennis says, I have pain, I know you're wondering which one of you is the source of that pain. Let me put all your minds at peace. It has nothing to do with you, I don't think. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, with our Bibles open on our laps, I pray that you would guide us to understand. May your word come alive in us. May our minds be quick, and may we accept, and may this prayer be not just my prayer, but the prayer of everyone here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Paul referred to the things that he's talking about as a treasure. And what's the treasure? It's his word. It's the gospel in its entirety. In its entirety, the gospel, the good news, that we can be set free, not only from the guilt of our sin and punishment, we can be set free from God's, from the world, the flesh, and the devil, that just keeps nagging away at all of us. So I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2 with your Bibles, as I prayed, open and on your lap. Paul writes this, and I'm just going to read the first two verses, though your notes say 1 through 3. Paul writes, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." May the Lord bless us in understanding as we do this. Paul begins with these words, "My son." The word that he uses, the Greek word that he uses, tekna, is a word that actually describes not just a child, a little child. And it's a very endearing word. Now he's going to give this assignment. He's going to give this assignment to his. He's going to be gentle. He's also going to be very specific and very, very firm. "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The word "be strong," that verb, it's a command. It's a command, and it's in the passive voice. When he says this in the passive voice, he's saying, "I'm not encouraging you to rev up your motor, you know, and just be confident in yourself." No, This has got to come from another source of strength. What do you think that source of strength is? It is the Bible that you're holding on your lap. The Bible in the voice, in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Earlier in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, you have to go back and forth with these words. This is why I'm asking you, when I say, you know, our Bibles are open, come with it intending to study and pay attention to those words. And do like one of my friends here. This is just a habit of many, many years here. Many years that even predate me. But this brother in Christ, every time he hears a message that comes from the pulpit, he writes the name of the person speaking, not Paul, you know, one of the lesser servants. He'll put the name of the pastor, and then he'll put the date down. You know, really pay attention. Pay attention. On a few occasions, he's told me, let's say you also preached that message in 2003. Yeah, I'm not forgetting, you know. You can't repeat this too many times. And it's not the same message. It's the same text, but it's not the same message. It's as God has been growing me in the study of his word, paying attention to his word, as the circumstances that we face in life are also the context in which we live, it also has to do with that. But I want you to know that even though it's in the context in which we live, this word is not controlled by the context in which we live. Did you get that? You could write that down just as a thought, but it's not controlled by the days in which we live. Paul is really concerned that we, as he writes this, and the Holy Spirit is really concerned that we understand that when it comes to all things spiritual, clearly all things spiritual, we need to find our strength. We need to find our strength in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The word grace means God doesn't owe me this favor of making me strong. He does not. But it is a gift that I haven't earned. It's not composed of only how hard I've studied. It is a gift from God. And as we ask for strength to understand, as I ask for strength today in dealing with my circumstances today, as I've dealt with these things throughout the week, I need his strength. Strength of mind, strength of soul, strength of spirit, and if it's a bonus, maybe a strength in body. But I need his strength, and you do too. Anybody here who doesn't really believe you need his strength, and you need to rely on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace that saves us from our sin, the grace of God that is transforming grace, transforming my soul, my spirit, my mind. That's the kind of strength I need. That's the kind of strength you need as well. Paul talks about being strong in a number of places. In most recent studies that we've covered here, just before Paul talks about the battle that affects our minds, our hearts, our spirit, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, put on the full armor of God. But in the verse, the first verse that precedes that, Ephesians 6, verse 10, write that down. Ephesians 6:10, Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Find your strength in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his mighty power." Do you find your strength in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? This transforming power of giving you a most important strength. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Why don't you turn with me in your Bibles? I should have had you turn to... We'll start out with Ephesians. I don't want us all to see this. Verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." If you turn a few pages further into the New Testament, in Colossians, a prayer that Paul prayed for the people at Colossae that he had never met, just like he didn't ever get a chance, the privilege of meeting you. Paul didn't have that privilege. But he writes in verse 11, "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might." Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance to run that race. You'll have great endurance and patience with whatever the circumstance you find yourself in, and that you'll have be strengthened with this glorious power according to his glorious might, so that you may have endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. No matter what you're going through, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Because you know where the power has to come from. It's coming from outside of you. We live in a self-help generation. I mean, you can do it, right? You can do it. Just tell yourself again and again, "Thank you, Tony Robbins. You can do it. You can do it." Regardless if you're listening to some preacher that is, everything's positive. You know, and always, just live on the happy side of life. He has a lot more hair than I do. That's right, I really don't have any. I was asking Marilyn if we knew this song, and I was playing it actually on YouTube by a wonderful a cappella choir, and it was a song that we sang. It was to the tune of "Crown Him with Many Crowns." One of that tune is has been sung in many. That tune has been used for lots of other poetic words. But these words I really heard for the first time this past week, and they gripped my soul. Look it up on YouTube. Not now, and don't play it on YouTube right now. I wish we could have, you know, had this choir that is singing from what looks to be like a grove of eucalyptus trees. But here's the words. The words are what's really important. Don't miss these words. The name of the song is "Make Me a Captive, Lord, and Then I Shall Be Free." I mean, there is so much paradox in this song. Don't let this week go by without you looking up these words and reading very carefully, maybe again and again, the words that were written in around 1890 by George Matheson. He writes, "Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free." Isn't that paradoxical? Make me a captive, and then I shall be free. Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conqueror be. You have to have a sword, don't you? I'm talking about a physical sword to be a conqueror. Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conqueror be. I sink in life's alarms. I sink in those alarms. When by myself I stand, in prison, enslaved with thy matchless grace, matchless love, and deathless it shall be. My power is faint and low. Don't try to just do this on your own. My power is faint and low, till I have learned to serve. It wants the needed fire to glow. It wants the breeze to nerve. It cannot drive the world until itself be driven. Its flag can only be unfurled when thou shalt breathe from heaven. My heart is weak and poor until its master find. It has no spring of action sure. It varies with that strength varies with the wind. He's talking about a watch's spring. It has no power that can be self-generated, not this kind of strength. This matters like a watch with the wind. My will is not my own, stanza 4, till thou hast made me thine. If it would reach a monarch's throne, like the Queen Elizabeth, the account that that Dennis shared a couple weeks ago with us, like Queen Elizabeth, it reached her heart. What reached her heart? The Word of God. It cannot freely move till thou hast wrought its chains. Can't move unless you, Lord, make my chains. Enslave me with thy matchless love, and deathless it shall reign. You know, the songs that we did today had a lot to do with that. And even though it was a really, you know, they were upbeat and had drums and guitars, this was the message. Where do you find your power when you're lying on the floor, or in your bed, and trying to find a comfortable place, and you can't get an MRI for a month? Where do you find your strength? Because that pain is working a number on you. It's working a number. A number that kind of makes you feel a little bit of despair. Where do you find your strength? Because what's happening is, what's at stake, it's not whether you get out of that pain. It's what the Holy Spirit does in you. That's in his word that reminds you what's real and reminds you to not only try to rest physically, but also to rest in spirit. To rest at the level of the soul. Find your grace, your strength in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't just cover your eternity. It covers your present moment as you turn and say, Lord, I need strength. Marilyn wrote me a note many years ago. It was on actually a notepad that she found that I had, and I really thought it was a cute little note. And you maybe have heard me say this before, but it was a prayer that came from a rat, a mouse, you know, whatever, we can handle Mickey Mouse, we can surely handle this kind of a note. But this little critter was hanging by, actually hanging underneath, holding onto the bar of a huge barbell. So feet not touching the ground. And the rat cries out, "Give me strength." And I think that's, sometimes we all feel that sort of thing, right? When you're facing a loved one who is being very rebellious, when you're facing, and you want to talk to them and encourage them, when you're talking to a friend who's struggling with family issues, and doesn't seem to be making any, in spite of the fact that this person is a Christian, doesn't seem to be making any headway, and you say, "Lord, help me. Help me not to mess this up. Lord, help me. Help me to say whatever needs to be said that I can contribute, but not in my own strength." When you're dealing with issues in our culture that are just, and they just kind of stink, and you wonder, is there any hope for this world? Where's the hope, Lord? Where is it? Paul knows the kind of stuff that Timothy was facing and the assignment that he had. He would face the same kind of false doctrine along the way that Paul had faced, that he had to deal with. And Paul was an amazing theologian. But every time he had to help other people face the heresy that would twist the church and twist it and twist it until there was no hope of the church surviving. Can you imagine? I mean, Paul's looking at the axe. It's going to come down real hard on the back of his neck. And I'm sure many people thought, "I think this is not going to last. When we get rid of him, it's not going to last." And he's passing this on to Timothy, who may have been, he may have been impacted by the abandonment of the ministry in Asia, in Ephesus and beyond Ephesus. This church that had been built up, strengthened by God's word, and coming through the pen and the words of Paul. Timothy was going to have to, he was going to have to be strong in the strength and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we went through this COVID, and you know, and I know it's still going to surface, and things are going to happen could happen to all of us, but. What was really grievous, especially if you had students at home, that was a pretty tough assignment to be at home all the time and away from your friends. And for those who were athletes, it meant that your sport was now almost put on ice. And when your body is getting older and out of shape and who knows, is my athletic career going to be spent alone at home? Well, what happened was a lot of young lives put a lot of time and money into developing their home gym. And unlike me with my Nordotrack, which was a good place to hang our laundry, you know, and it was, my family took a long time for them to say, "Yeah, we'll get rid of that for you." So, get it out on the street. Give it away. But these kids, you know, all of a sudden they turned from wimpy early teens to, "Where'd you get that body?" They were strong. And they kept developing. Now, that was in their own strength, but it's the same way when whatever the system is that kind of could derail us, Find your strength to get through this. Find your strength to get through this in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus. Open up your life to letting that happen. It will transform you. It will transform me. Paul said, the things that you've heard me say, this is the next point. You're wondering, how long will this go? Well, if we can't finish in a reasonable time, we'll pick this up. We're just going to keep going through God's word. Paul says, the things, this is verse 2, the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men, who will also be qualified to teach others. First thoughts. You've heard me say these things. That's why I emphasized over the last couple weeks, verse 13, the things that here he says, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern. Stick with this pattern. These words, these doctrines, you've heard me say it again and again. You heard me say it in Ephesus. You heard me say it to Titus. You've heard, these are the things that I said to Titus as well as you. You've heard me say these things that were specifically important, so specific that the words from Scripture would be faithfully passed on and passed on and passed on to the generation right then and there. But those words were very specific and important. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21. You see, Jesus said a lot of words, didn't he? Then there's this major, interesting statement about Jesus speaking and his words being used specifically in the lives of the people who were living then. And his words, John captures this whole thought in John chapter 20. I misspoke. John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these things are written, these words are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may find life in his name. Now, chapter 21, verse 25. Jesus did many other things as well. And if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world could not have room for the books that could be written. These words are very specific. And these words were intended to be carried on so that we would know exactly these things that the Holy Spirit, when he came upon, as Jesus promised, came upon the first disciples, the Holy Spirit would remind them of all of this truth. And they would record it. Write it down and use it to instruct God's people across time. If we didn't have those words, we don't have any pictures of him. We don't have any artist renderings from that time that were artist renderings that were brought out at his mock trial. These are the words that he said. The truths. Jasmine read Psalm 119, and Psalm 119 verses 41 to 47. You know, the psalmist says, I think in verse 42, let not these words, Lord, let not these truths in these words pass from my lips. I need, my faith is based upon the words, the word who is Jesus, the words that he spoke. Paul makes it really clear. I didn't come up with this stuff, verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1, on my own. It came to me. These are the words of Jesus. I didn't have the privilege of walking with him, with the other 11 apostles, but he appointed me to get this word out, and he taught me and took these words to us. The things that you've heard me say in the presence of many enemies, entrust these words to faithful men. I've said these things over and over again because I want you to know the truth. So you've heard me say these things that Jesus taught me in the presence of many, countless others. But these are also words that came, as we said, from the Lord Jesus in those accounts in the Gospels. I wonder, too, now Paul didn't, he learned these things, of course, from Jesus, who helped him understand, but he also got to know one of his traveling companions, Dr. Luke. And what did Dr. Luke write? He wrote the book of Luke, and he wrote Acts. And it was really, really important that he was learning, likewise, from this historic account, which was divinely inspired. You've heard this from me as I spoke in many ways, but you've heard that. A couple more thoughts. He said, entrust these things. Give this treasure, God's word. The doctrine that he got from Jesus as well. Guard, another imperative. It's a command. Guard these words. Guard it. It's not an option. It's not an option. And he talks about give it to faithful men. Now, what do people do with the words? Sometimes we kind of guard them, and we're not real careful with all of them. Guard these words. Don't twist them. Don't try to make them fit our cultural norms today. Is there a word? Well, I just said those words. Entrust these words to what? Faithful men. I use the pre 1984 New International Version, and it uses the word men. The newer versions of the NIV say, entrust these words to faithful people. Well, isn't the Bible for everybody? Of course it is. But there was something really at stake right now. Who was Paul writing to? One of the pastors that would have a huge assignment. And these pastors were men who would need to transmit these words specifically. Those people would specifically have to be very careful with this. Are women left out? Not by application. But Paul is saying, this is very specific. Why would I even promote this? Is this some sort of male chauvinistic sort of thing? Does this mean that women can't teach men? No, you can't get it from this. But entrust these words to faithful men. Make sure this goes on. with precision, because these are representatives of Christ in the world. And if Paul didn't do this, if he just, if he said, well, you know, or if we do this, we say, well, yeah, but it's just faithful people, faithful moms, faithful dads, faithful. He doesn't use those words. And what would have happened? What happens in our culture now today is that we feel at liberty to change the word men to people, multiple people, faithful men who can be trusted themselves with this word, to guard it. There's something greater at stake in these words. It's much greater than, boy, I sure hope the Bible translation catches up with the right side of history. That's the same thing when we talk about using, well, we need to eliminate the word father. We need to eliminate the word mother. That's too gender specific. So we have to change that to something else. So we now have birthing persons, right? Birthing persons. I haven't seen that in any translation yet. But, you know, we feel very much, you know, let's make this socially acceptable, that so that we can understand that people have changed their gender might actually be male, but so fathers can get pregnant. We just kind of give redefinitions to everything. And the threat, though, is to God's word. Don't change what it says. Come forward and speak about mothers freely and fathers. But the point, again, is not to be a culturally sensitive people. Don't mess with God's word. Be as accurate as you can to translate these Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words the way they are. And don't put your cultural sensitivities to this issue. Have you had enough? I'm trying to, you know, I'm just changing the pace here a little bit because I, you know, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. We can be strong and courageous. Don't you love those words from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8? I mean, repeatedly. The Lord, through the prophet, writes, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Quit trying to just skate through in your own strength. Be strong in the Lord. Where is your strength coming from when you face a difficult situation? That at first blush, it might look like, well, this doesn't look like a spiritual situation. Well, it does. If it's working on your spirit and pulling your spirit down and breaking your spirit and causing you to think that lastly that I need to turn to the Lord and ask for his strength. Pay attention to the words. Now, I'm not about to tell you what Bibles you can and can't use, but just really try to get to the point. How can I know? Well, I hope my pastor's teaching the way it is. I hope my teachers are teaching the way it is. And so I'll turn to God's word. But folks, above all of those, the authority for our faith, all things, our faith and practice, is in the scriptures, right here, the scriptures. guard, may all of us guard the treasure that's in us. And specifically, Paul was talking to men who would be the pastors, who would be the teachers, that would take these words right from the beginning and be faithful with them. If they wouldn't have been, if they were just concerned about the social structures and the political structures in which they lived, every heresy played games with the Word of God and changed words to suit what they wanted the Word of God to say. Let it speak to you in its entirety. Be faithful, and you pass it on. Now, application. Who's the audience that you need to be faithful to? Well, start with parents. Start with who? What spiritual leaders beyond pastors and elders in the early church does this really specifically apply to? Beyond that, well, it's parents. It's people newly married. It's people facing serious struggles in life. It's anyone who wants desperately to be able to communicate the gospel in its entirety to loved ones, and those loved ones and friends who are rejecting God's word and saying, well, whatever you believe, so, you know, it's the important thing. We hear this all the time. The important thing is that you just believe. Some of the people I love the most use that. It said that to my face. I mean, dear loved ones, it's just important that you believe. Sadly, I don't think that loved one is in heaven with Jesus. Because the only thing that was important was that you just believe. Father, you know, I know that these words are really, really specific. By the Spirit, your word, which really came to the world through many struggles, but survived, and we put our trust in you and in your word. Thank you for the promise of Jesus that the Spirit would come and would remind us of the things that Jesus said and did. I thank you that we have a very reliable, originally, the original autographs were coming directly from you. I pray we'd understand it, and that we would be those faithful men and young men and women, moms, that we be faithful and guard the truth. We pray, Lord, all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. To God be the glory. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. And now unto him who is able to keep us from stumbling and cause us to stand before his presence blameless and with great joy, to him be the glory, power, dominion, and authority. before all time, now and forever. Amen.